Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Marine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual landlady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
It's Monday morning, October 6th. And it's time for another episode of N4G Radio. And this week, we have a good show, I hope.
Yes, it's Monday.
It's probably never good to say, hey, we got a good show this week at the very beginning of the show.
Well, yeah.
Because we don't really know where it's going to go from here.
No, probably not. But in the chair to my left, we have Super Bleeder, Gambus Khan, Jason Gambrell.
Wake me up before you go-go.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's our first Wham reference of the podcast, I believe.
Oh. It's just got to go away. And next to him, we have the Wombat, Ryan Wombat.
I'm still in awe at the Wham impression.
It'll probably be the first and the last.
First and last in history. And also with us, we have Justin and Gilliloran and Testos.
Indeed.
Shallow and pedantic.
Indeed.
Rock and roll. So here we go.
Yeah.
It's time for a little fondling. I'll start with the Killer Wolverine.
Oh.
Or should I just start asking everybody to raise
Flip
their hand?
The switch up.
Who has something to share with the class? Do you have something to share with the class?
I do.
What do you have to share?
Stuff.
Nice. That's cool. Let's do this again.
All right. Well, I guess I'll start with the small thing first. I played the demo for War World. It's a mech game.
You only get 49 seconds. You want to talk about small?
Yeah, the demo lasted.
War World? War World.
It's a mech game from Ubisoft on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, it's a live arcade game.
It's supposed to be a multiplayer.
That might be the worst title I've heard since Massive Action Game.
It kind of sounds like somebody's trying to say something and they're like garbled, like, war.
You know, watching you play it and I play it, I don't know if the environment's changed.
I don't know. They all look kind of like jungly
with
some Aztec textures going on.
Yeah. Ooh, Aztec.
Yeah.
I just pulled that out. I don't really know.
I probably won't buy that, so moving on. I beat Star Wars.
Nice.
I went for the dark side.
Really?
That cannon. Oh, that's not good cannon at all.
Well, it's not supposed to be.
My next plan is to beat that last level again.
I'd say
so.
The costume you get is
the costume
awesome.
Is best.
Yeah, I actually already unlocked the costume via passcode.
Because
I wanted to see all the costumes, and it doesn't ruin your achievement.
Yeah,
if
costumes
you unlock those.
Don't, yeah.
So
that costume is badass.
Yeah, it is badass.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that nobody ever sported that in any of the movies. Cause
I know.
That
kind of looks like a mix between like Leia and the Bosk,
right,
from Return of the Jedi, and it's in the big claw fingers. And
right.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah, so.
Ooh.
I guess
awesome.
Next, I'll be trying to get the holocrons and do the light ending. So.
Which is the canon.
Yeah.
Which,
and it's very good.
Well,
very
good. Since he watched the dark ending, I made him tell me the light ending.
Gotcha. So. I thought the story in the game was very, 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 very good. And it fits into the canon very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't just, like, it's not just, like a side story like all the other Star Wars games have been. It actually, the thing I liked about it most was it wasn't just like, yeah, let's just throw something out there to fill the gap between the two. It actually has serious ramifications for, the original trilogy.
For four, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The last, fight, I'm not going to, you didn't beat it yet, and I don't want to ruin it, but.
What's that?
He's not going to ruin it.
Okay. don't ruin it for me, please.
I wasn't, but the last fight.
Please, no!
Either way, I guess it's pretty hard because you got to find a trick to beat him.
Yours was a lot easier than the other one.
And
I'll tell you that
I fear for that because I had a hell of a time.
At least there's only one trick to beating the dark side.
Right.
There's several tricks to beating the light side.
Yeah, the light side ending, it's tough. The last boss is pretty tough.
Wow.
pretty tough.
Once you figure out the dark side, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
So
we know the dark side is the easy path.
Well, indeed.
Thanks, George.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. I mean, I let him play a couple of it because I didn't really want to do that whole Star Destroyer thing.
No,
I wouldn't have patience for it.
That thing sucks.
I hate it. That's the one part of that game that I just absolutely hated.
Oh, it drove me insane.
I wouldn't have patience for it, so I was like, yeah, here.
Mostly because they took, I think I hated it most because they took what was, number one, a really, really cool scene when they showed it in cutscene form, and number two is like a really sort of powerful statement about the power of one person or whatever, and they made it into the most frustrating-ass, drawn-out, terrible minigame.
Yeah.
Like, it ruined any of the significance that it had because it was just so tedious.
Yeah.
But how badass did you feel when you actually brought it
up? Yes. Yeah.
I felt badass every time that I would do the...
Right.
Would yank it and the controller would rumble. That I felt badass then. But other than that, So what else are you playing?
I played Silent Hill.
Ah, the only person in the room.
And, you know, it's Silent Hill with better graphics.
Nice.
I mean, you start off... Well, I don't really want to ruin it.
It's the beginning if you start off.
I don't... No, fuck it. I'm not going to say anything more. It's Silent Hill. It's got a creepy tone to it. It's constantly sending shivers up my spine. Just the atmosphere. No pop-up, oh shit, moments at all so far. But it's Silent Hill. It's foggy. It's dark. you need a flashlight. And
there's probably a pyramid head running around somewhere.
Haven't seen him yet. But
I'm crazy
sure
nurses
is.
With no faces.
I did run into those.
The meatheads.
They stabbed me.
With needles?
Bastards.
No, with knives.
Oh. They've upgraded.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start a petition to remove sharp objects from crazy no-face nurses.
The combat
shouldn't be allowed to have them.
It is really good. I think it's simple, and it does the game justice. You know, the B button lets you dodge. Like, so if you know... Usually, enemy gives you a sign when they're going to attack. So you hit the B button, you dodge, and you counter with the X button.
Is it tank style control? The crappy ass.
No, because it's made by the same team that did Buffy and Indiana Jones.
Nice.
So it plays like a third person.
Really well.
Yeah.
Really well. And there's two attacks. There's light attack with A and heavy attack with X. You can charge the heavy attack and more damage, and you can combo it together real smooth, real well.
That was like always their highlight was their combat engine. Well, they were really good at that.
It works really well, and the story is kind of. Well, it is Silent Hill, so you're searching for a missed loved one. But oddly enough, it doesn't take place in the town of Silent Hill right now. So I don't know if I go to Silent Hill or not.
Isn't it called Silent Hill Homecoming?
Yeah.
I would imagine that
if you play, I don't want to, the beginning kind of...
Oh, gotcha.
He comes home, but it's not to Silent Hill.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if he... Because he was born in a different town.
I bet you, this is just a prediction. I haven't beat the game or anything, but I bet you he was originally from Silent Hill.
Oh.
The way I got it right now.
But he doesn't know.
He's got amnesia?
The video game equivalency is he always forgets his past, but he finds out later he was really from Silent Hill and creepy sex with nurses and no faces.
Okay.
Hey.
Man.
Or maybe
that's pretty disturbing.
He chases his loved one to Silent Hill and then maybe he does recover his past. Hey, maybe that's way good.
See, there you
go. Maybe he's in Silent Hill the whole time, but he's under a hallucination.
Or maybe he's actually dead and he thought that he came home and that's why he can't find his loved one.
Just like in the movie.
You know, I was actually going towards that in the beginning. I was actually like, this guy's dead.
Dude, if I just spoiled it for anybody...
I honestly don't know.
I'm just guessing. Yeah. So hopefully,
but that's what I guessed when I first popped it in when I started playing it. So I'm like, yeah, this guy's.
If we spoiled it, that basically means it has a
terribly predictable storyline. Yeah.
Accidental spoiler.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Just forget we said this. You will not remember.
Indeed.
And then the last thing I did play. Mega Man 9. This game took my ass, put it in a box, wrapped it up, put a little bow on it with a little card, and handed it to me.
And then it punted you.
And across many states.
Oh.
The game is hard.
It's Mega Man.
I don't see the difference. No. I know everyone says it's Mega Man, but when I was growing up with
it. It's tougher.
No, I played the demo on PSN.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it being that tough when I was growing up. Because there was no save features.
Right.
And if you beat a boss and you turned it off, you have to go back and do it again. I remember beating that game in a day, obviously.
Well,
and I beat one boss so far in the 3 days that I've had it.
There was a passcode system.
I never used it.
Only in the second one. The first one did not
have
it.
That's when you had to beat
one set. Yeah,
that's
true. I never used it. So I just don't remember being this bad at it. But I guess it's because of everything today. I've, you know,
you've been pansified.
Grown up. Yeah, exactly. And it humbled me. It just, like I said, it whipped my ass. And, I actually beat Galaxy Man, memorizing his levels and where the enemies are. And, I mean, that's what you have to do is memorization.
It's all about pattern recognition. Yeah.
And I remember the one I worked on the most after that was Splash Woman, so I know her level pretty well. And I can get to her. But it's Mega Man. And, you know, at first I was just... In preparation of a destroyed controller, I took off my messenger kit. So
nice.
I didn't have to, you know, buy two different items. So that's because I know something's going to go down eventually.
Something's going to get broken.
Zach, I just want to let you know, controller, this is nothing personal, but you are probably going to die.
It's looking like it. But, you know,
you're not even in the Wily stages yet.
No. But, I mean, when I first played it, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's Mega Man, yay. And then I got increasingly angry at it. And then I'm kind of leveled out with it now.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know. It's hard. Just and it shouldn't be, because nothing changes. The levels are the same, obviously, and the enemies are exactly where the same, you know, placed they were when you
Very
died.
Strategically placed, though.
Well, yeah.
And so are the platforms.
So. I don't know. It's Mega Man, and I like it, but I wish I liked it better.
Bloody I don't brilliant. Know. It's Mega.
I don't know. It's Mega Man.
So
Mega Mang.
Mang.
You know, I wasn't
Mega
a, like,
Mang.
Like you, I don't know how big a fan you are. I guess I don't know, but
I love Mega Man.
Okay, I guess like the three of you, I don't really love Mega Man.
Well,
I like Mega Man, but I don't love it.
That's good that you at least like Mega Man.
So, and I'm trying to like it more, but I don't know how much. More I can like a game that owns my soul.
I will say this. It is pretty challenging. I'll get to that when it comes to me.
So, I don't know.
I'll talk about it here in a little bit.
You know, I'll get what I agree on. Two achievements. I should have bought it on the PS3. So, that's the only reason I bought it on 360 was for achievements, and I realized how hard they are. So, well.
All right. Are you playing anything else?
Summer Olympics for achievements, but.
So what are you looking forward to this week?
Silent Hill.
That's it?
Oh, Rock Band.
Oh, yeah, you got Rock Band today. Band Dose.
Yeah, and then, that's in the news, so whatever. And maybe more Star Wars.
Star
so I can
Wars.
Maybe get the light ending. Because you said I can just take off from that level and
right.
You can play that whole level, but you remember that level how it started off.
You fuck that shit.
At beginning of that level sucks.
It really does. So, yeah, I think those are the only two I really want to... Oh, and maybe Stickball. Maybe. For the arcade. Just to see what the hell it's all about.
Stickball.
Sweet. But that, there's a...
There you go.
In 20 minutes.
Not quite.
Oh.
So we'll move on to the Wombat.
The Wombat. PS3 heavy on the fondling this week. Only 360 game I played all week, I believe, was Rock Band 2. Which is awesome. Same as first game. But
just
with a lot of awesome more songs and the fact I like the band world tour mode a lot better in this one.
You know what's funny is as much as we hate it, this really is Rock Band 1.5.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's so is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Did you transfer
Even though
all
I
your
hate
songs
that
over?
Designation. Yes. Yes, I did. So I played that, just one day, though, actually. I didn't get to play it very much. I played on the PSN. I played the demo for Mega Man because I didn't have time to jump over to the 360 and actually purchase it, which, you know, I'll apparently be playing it tonight or tomorrow.
Indeed.
So I can get a review up midweek. But the minute that I booted it up, it was like a smile on my face because I love Mega Man so much that it was... when they announced that they were going to do this one old school style, I was so excited about it. And, you know, when I first started playing it, my fear was that it would just look old school.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's Mega Man. It's straight out Mega Man. So that makes me very, very happy.
Every stage is like that, too.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about playing that this week. Also on the PSN, I played Wipeout HD, which is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Just great. I was a fan of the Wipeout series before, but not... I would never call myself like a huge, huge fan of the Wipeout series.
Yeah.
To me, I've always preferred F-Zero in terms of futuristic racers, just because I grew up on F-Zero. So, but HD is just
incredible. For $20,
yeah.
Man.
And there's so much stuff to do. The tracks are great. The music fits with the game very well. And the controls are fantastic.
Controls are
that
phenomenal.
Was my problem with Wipeout before is that it's a lot more touchy than F-Zero is, which mm-hmm. is, you know, I realize they're two very different games, mm-hmm. but in terms of futuristic racers, I always compare everything to F-Zero just because, you know, it was the first quote unquote, and it's the one that I've played the most. And the controls were always so much touchier in Wipeout, so much more, I hate to say sim when it refers to a
futuristic
racer,
racing,
but
yeah.
I mean, they're just more, they're less forgiving. And they're spot on.
Do you play, let me ask you, do you play with auto assist on or off?
You know, I started out with it on because I didn't realize it was on. And then when I realized it was on, I turned it off and man, it's tough.
You need to turn it back on. Because you won't make it past the third or fourth.
Nice. All right, I'll
seriously,
turn it back
because
on.
It's funny because, you know, a lot of people be like, "Well, you're a pansy because you're using it." You seriously have no idea how much you will die.
Right.
I still die with it on.
Right.
In the third and fourth ones. I mean, that's how friggin' hard it is when you hit that wall and you see your energy go.
Yeah.
You're like, shit.
Yeah.
I even hit walls with it on.
Nice.
How bad I suck.
It is seriously that game is just it's almost too fast, and the fact that it moves at 60 frames a second,
right?
And your brain's like trying to process it. You're like, oh.
I think the it is very fast and very, like I said, kind of sim, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But I never at any point felt like the controls caused me to crash.
Mm-hmm.
It always feels like I'm just not doing. Doing it right.
You're not fast enough
right.
to react to
right.
what the game's doing.
Which is a huge plus, especially for a racing game that moves
yeah.
as fast as it does. So, I mean, for $20, if you've got a PlayStation 3 and you haven't bought Wipeout yet, you need to go do it right now. Well,
awesome.
Maybe not right now. Wait another hour and a half till you're done listening to the show and then,
then go, do
go
it.
Download it. And then lastly, the good folks at Sony and Media Molecule were nice enough to send me a little Big Planet beta code.
Nice.
So I played quite a bit of that actually this week, and it's incredible. And it's actually, it was already my most, probably right there with Fallout 3 as my most anticipated game of the year, and the beta just reinforces it because it's phenomenal. My biggest fear with Little Big Planet this whole time has always been that 90% of the fun is going to be in the actual level creation, and that actually running through the levels won't be as fun. Like, it'll be sort of simplistic or repetitive.
Yeah.
But there's so many puzzles and different ways to do stuff. And in terms of the – and I might get blasted for saying this, so hear me out because it's not a criticism.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the actual platforming in the game, it's very simplistic. It's just run and jump.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But the levels themselves is what gives it its depth. And the levels are just as fun to create as they are to play, which is huge in my book. Because, like I said, I was afraid you'd spend all this time having a blast making this huge level, and then when it came time to actually run through it, it was just kind of like, eh, let's make another level instead of playing this one.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the physics, too.
Right.
Like how everything interacts with everything
right.
else. And you can create some really obscure... Have you played any of the like user-created
right.
levels?
There's
right. some crazy
yeah.
shit out there that you're just like... And it's not even all platforming.
Right.
You know,
there's
just,
a lot of puzzle stuff in
there's
it,
There's a lot of racing and,
right.
like adventure, and it just... Oh, it's
yeah.
just so cool.
It's amazing. And, like I said, you know, people complain about the floaty jumping in it. It's floaty to an extent, but it's nothing you won't get used to in 5 minutes.
No.
I mean, your first run through a level, you'll be used to the jumping by the end of it. It's definitely not as harsh as some people seem to like to make it, mostly just because I think they want to see the game fail for one reason or another. But, you know, from playing to creating to everything, the game's just top-notch all around. And it's all the awesome thing to me is that there's a game within a game when you're actually playing the level, because not only are you trying to figure out the puzzles that the developers or that the user creation guys have put in to get the points or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to figure out what, you know, if I step here, if I hold this, what will it do so I can get this. But there's also in the back of your mind the whole time, the other puzzle that you're trying to figure out is how did they make that and how can I make that?
And you can steal items from your level and put them into your levels, which are awesome.
So it's very cool to not only, you know, play the level as it's meant to be played, but also go through it and look at the way things work. And try and figure out, you know, what items they used and what actions they used to make this do this. It's absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Definitely.
I can't
say
enough.
Very looking forward to it in 2 weeks.
I was already jacked up about it coming out, and now my hype level is through the roof.
Oh, I know.
So
I can't wait.
I
cannot wait for that game.
Very, very, very.
Mostly
very
just because I know that the internet community is going to go on a friggin' tangent and create some of the best shit. Like, I'll be able to create some, you know, stuff here and there, but I look so forward to just digging through everybody's levels and just finding some great shit to play.
And that's the thing, is the best part about the level creation is that even if you take it on its base level, like the most simple level that you can do, you can still make some pretty fun stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you can still make some pretty fun stuff to run through, but there's so much depth that, you know, people who are willing to invest a lot of time into it are going to make some
amazing stuff.
We're going to
see some seriously awesome levels.
Yeah. So, you know, my hype, I was definitely not disappointed at all. And it actually, the game exceeded expectations of mine that were pretty high.
And well, there's one little thing everybody continues to forget about this game is all four of us will be able to jump into a game and run through these levels together.
Absolutely.
And you always forget about that.
Yeah.
And it's just
The nice thing is they did the Phantasy Star Online thing where you can run through a level by yourself and you can't get everything unless you have, you know,
multiple
two
people.
Or three or four people with you to help you get some of the items and stuff, which I love that in Phantasy Star Online, and I think it's going to be great in Little Big Planet too. I'm excited, and I hope that they get the patch out for co-op create quick, because I think that'll be a lot of fun too. I mean, we've said before that we all judge games based on how much fun they are, and to me, if a game can make me have fun doing the simplest, stupidest stuff, then, you know, it automatically gets a huge plus in my book. Like Grand Theft Auto, you can have a blast in Grand Theft Auto and never play the game once.
Yeah.
And I was in the level create in Little Big Planet just making like huge blocks of stuff.
Yeah.
Taking them way up in the air.
And letting them fall on
and just letting them fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, little stuff like that, stacking stuff up.
See how far I could get a ball to roll down a hill
exactly,
or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Stacking stuff up and then making a ramp and having a ball roll down the ramp and knock over the stuff that you stacked up. Just little stuff like that gives the game pretty much infinite replayability. So I am through the roof for Little Big Planet.
It's like I'm going to feel bad because some of my other games won't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll be like, oh, I could play this
and there's
for a
so much
hours.
Stuff coming out at once. It's,
I know.
I'm going to have to
get a clone.
As excited as I am about Little Big Planet, I'm going to have to make a conscious effort to pull myself away from it so I can play, which shouldn't be too hard because I'm really jacked up about Fallout as well.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very hard for me to pull myself away from those two games to play Fable 2, which I'm also very excited about, but I'm not on the same level as I am with the other two. And Spider-Man also, which I'm excited about, but once
which
again, not on the same level.
Which people continue to forget about that game coming
out.
Yeah.
So, and
well,
it looks,
came out at a bad time.
It really does. When
they
Spider-Man
picked a terrible
3
time.
Was kind of... You know, but this is a totally different game made by a totally different developer from what I've heard. Freaking awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a busy month.
Yeah. It starts this week with me, so
What comes out this week?
Nothing for you guys, but I get Dead Space this week.
Oh, man.
Dead Space this week, nothing for you guys.
anyways, in terms of future fondling, just probably more Little Big Planet, the full version of Mega Man 9, obviously. I think that's probably about it for the week.
That should be about enough, though.
Yeah, and Wipeout, more Wipeout.
Wipeout, yes. Wipeout's become my new Mario Kart, I think.
Nice.
Like, I play it, like, once a week.
You know, I haven't played Mario Kart in a while. Maybe I need to go back to that.
I'd just be afraid to put it in right now, because then I'll be like, I should be playing new stuff.
Right.
I'm just going to play this for 3 hours.
I should be playing Wipeout.
So, Mr. Khan, we'll move on to you, Super Bleeder.
What's up? How's it going?
I'm doing good. We already been over that. It's game time.
Yeah, it's game time. Okay.
We already did the introduction, dude.
Yes.
So what you been playing?
Okay. I actually completely neglected my 360 this week.
Nice. Well, man, I mean, that's two in a row.
I did power it on and look online, see what was online and stuff. But in terms of playing games, I didn't play anything on my 360 this week, but... what I did play was on the DS. I played more Dragon Quest IV. I'm really digging it. It's a blast from the past, and I think it holds up pretty well considering, you know, it was remade with the Dragon Quest VII engine. Graphics are really good. The colors explode off the screen.
Like Skittles.
Taste the rainbow.
The music in Dragon Quest is freaking phenomenal, in my opinion. It's
something like a phenomenon.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, if you're into RPGs and you don't mind level grinding for hours and
thank you.
If you don't mind level grinding quite a bit, and you want a little bit of a challenging RPG, but that's not too challenging, Dragon Quest IV could just be right up your alley.
Right up your ass.
Jesus.
Interesting.
But besides that, the other two games, because I only played basically three games this week, kind of like everybody else. Well, I don't know about Zero, but the evil laugh. The other two games I played this week are on PS3. I played Wipeout HD. I bought it.
I'm glad you and I are both 1 week late to the party. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, where were you guys last week? We already went over this. Meh.
I'm never going to be coming to the party on that one, though.
Wipeout?
I'm not going to buy it.
Make you vomity?
Yeah.
Make you sick?
When we watched it, what were we watching on?
Oh, we're going to plug something else. It's a show.
I don't want to plug it.
Show.
Yeah, it's a show. and they were playing it in first-person mode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I played that in first-person mode for about 2 seconds, and I was like, no.
You know, I like it in first-person, but it sucks because you can't see the ship.
Yeah.
And the ship looks really cool.
You
like,
can see
the
bottom
myself,
of the toilet.
Like, yeah. I find myself wanting to play in first-person for the...
experience.
Like the, yeah, but... Then I'm like, man, but the ship is so pretty, and you can't see the ship if you're in first person.
See, yeah, I never thought of that. I thought about, I don't want to throw the fuck up.
Just vomit all over my controller.
Yeah, I really, really, really like Wipeout HD. It's a fantastic buy for $20. It's really awesome.
It's off the chain.
It's off the chain, yo. The thing is, I really hope they include some downloadable content, some booster packs, you know, buy this, you know.
You know there'll be more tracks and more ships and everything.
Bring back the tracks from XL. You will make me excited.
Yeah, maybe make a like a track pack where, you know, you get like two or three more tracks for like $7 or something. I think that'd be pretty sweet. The graphics in it are freaking amazing, man. I mean, good God.
Fuck out.
By God, it's all in HD.
By Joe, hence the name.
Hence the title. It did its job. Yay!
In my opinion, the game feels and acts just like a full-price game. I mean, between the graphics, the sound. If I had one gripe about the game, and it's not even really a gripe, is that it only has like several music tracks in the whole game. But then when I would think about it, only paid $20, and it's like
I didn't pay for music either.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like when I'm playing it, I'm almost expecting it to have a whole bunch of music tracks like your typical $60 game.
But you do know that you can use custom soundtracks.
I did know that.
There you go.
Yeah, really? And I was actually looking through my CDs, and I was like, whoa, what can I use to put in the background of Wipeout?
Is that the first PS3 game to do?
No. But the thing about PS3 custom soundtracks is you have to go make a playlist. You have to create a playlist from wherever you're streaming it from.
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I really like that option. So I'll probably be downloading some CDs and into my PS3 and putting them as background music.
You can just download this podcast, and for 20 minutes I'll go...
Yeah. But lastly, the other game that I played this week was...
Mega Man! No!
Wow.
Okay.
I don't think he sounds like that.
No, he doesn't.
No,
he
go by the old Captain Ink cartoon.
Sounds like this.
Sounds like this.
That's mega awesome.
Mega high.
Mega awesome. Or he's been smoking for 50 years.
Yeah.
Or if you go with the Mega Man 8, don't fight me. We should be friends. Shut up. But,
Why don't we just call him Mega Man and not make funny sounds for his voice. It totally ruins the mood for me.
Yeah.
But,
takes me out of it.
Mega Man 9 is pretty cool. I really like it. Here's the thing.
The thing is,
everybody's saying, oh, it's hard, it's tough. I just
sound like we're watching a movie on the internet. What's going on?
I don't know what movie you've been watching. But anyway,
I ain't gonna say it.
But it's like everybody's like, oh, I must have lost my old school spirit or whatnot because I really suck at this game. But here's the thing. The thing is, this game is tougher than the original three Mega Man games. I would even say it's probably even tougher than Mega Man 4. This is like Mega Man 5 or 6 difficulty, which are basically in terms of the Mega Man, if you really think about it, they get progressively tougher in the series. And because Mega Man 3 and Mega Man 2 compared to Mega Man 9 are freaking easy, in my opinion.
Well, that's because you've played through Mega Man 2 and 3 16,452 times.
It's not that.
It is for me, because I can tell you right now, if I didn't know the patterns and the enemies in Mega Man 2, that game's a bitch.
Thing is, I just recently played, I guess this would be considered part of my fondling. I actually put in my Mega Man Anniversary Collection, and I played a little bit of 2 and 3 right before I got 9. And the thing is, it's like the levels... The levels are systematically created to kill you quickly. Whereas in Mega Man 2 and 3, they challenge you usually... I don't know, but then that's not right, because there's a couple levels in 2 and 3 that do try to kill you quick. Yes. But I'll say this, like the hardest levels in Mega Man 2 and the hardest levels in Mega Man 3 are about the same difficulties like the easier levels in Mega Man 9, like Splash Woman and Galaxy Man. I mean, I think Mega Man 9 is probably one of the toughest, if not the toughest, Mega Man game, in my opinion. And that's because I, recently played a couple of the old ones. But then again, I played them back in the day so many times.
That's kind of my point. Is it
that even 15 years later, returning back to them, I still kind of have a memory of like how they were.
Well, have you seen the leaderboard? The number one guy that played through the game, the entire game, he has a time trial record. You know how long it was?
How long?
27 minutes.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so apparently it's not too hard for him.
Yeah.
It's all about memorization.
It is. I would say that the memorization aspect of Mega Man 9 is like on Keter with...
What?
Keter.
Kilter?
Kilter, yeah.
I was going to say Keter. Isn't that like what those instruments...
Yeah, I want a Keter. But,
I got 12.
Sweet. But, It's like on par with a Gradius game. It's like It's like on par with a spaceship shooter game in terms of its reluctancy to cause the player to throw fits through memorization of memory of enemy patterns.
Nobody in this room throws fits.
No, not a one of us.
But I do have one little gripe. A lot of people say Mega Man 9. Oh yeah, it's got great music. The music's okay. It's just okay, in my opinion.
I like the music.
I like the music too, but it's definitely not on par with the first four Mega Man games in terms of overall soundtrack. I mean,
I don't know. I've only heard a couple of them so far. So,
well, I mean, there's really no iconic musical themes in nine. Well, I mean, there probably isn't in the title screen. That's pretty cool. But the thing is, most of the music that that's rememberable is stuff that they reused from other games, like the password screen music, and which is the option music in Mega Man 9. And when you select an enemy to fight, you know, it does the Wily boss music. And that's a pretty rememberable theme. But in terms of, like, all the stages, there's only, like, a couple themes that actually even stand out in my mind, basically. And then that's probably because I played the stages so many times.
Right.
And that's, like, Galaxy Man and Concrete Man and Splash Woman. Their stages have okay musical rhythms, but not nearly as on par with, like, especially 2 and 3. I think 2 and 3, followed by 1, are the three strongest in terms of overall soundtrack quality.
Whoever thought we'd be having a philosophical conversation about bleeps and bloops?
Hey, it's deeper than that. It's all about composition.
So you played anything else?
No.
What are you looking forward to playing?
What I'm looking forward to playing is...
Indeed.
Fable 2 and Little Big Planet.
This week?
Okay. Well, now this week. This week, I plan on playing through all the way through Force Unleashed, and who knows what else I'll be playing besides that. Probably more Mega Man 9 because I only beat Galaxy Man so far. Which, by the way, Galaxy Man, the stage was pretty challenging, but the boss was freaking easy.
See, I thought at first when I played Galaxy Man, I thought the stage was challenging, but
yeah,
Splash Woman is probably just as easy.
Yeah.
What?
He said easy and Splash Woman at the same time.
She's like a 12 sprite robot.
But I got a little bit of a rant.
That won't stop there from being a Splash Woman fan site complete with half naked
dude, the first time drawing. I read a fan fiction about Splash Woman, I am banning that site from my internet browser. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
But
it'll be there.
Yeah, I know. Sickos.
Yeah, sickos. But anyway, I got a little bit of a rant.
Uh-oh.
And this rant is basically, there was a thing on the forums. One of our listeners wrote in to us and said that, you know, at Blockbuster Video, the PSN cards didn't have any tax.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, and before you go any further, it's based on state.
It's based on state.
Right.
So you can't get upset about people like they don't pay. You're like, literally, it was funny because I went and I bought a 1600 point card the other day and I didn't get charged tax. But yet any time you buy anything, otherwise you get charged tax. It's all based on the state. When I bought Wipeout, it was $21.39.
Right.
So
some states are lucky enough not to charge them. We unfortunately aren't. Ah, well.
Well, the thing is, when I bought my, I bought two PSN cards, and I got charged tax at the register, and then I got charged tax again in the PSN store.
You know, it's kind of unfortunate, but there's nothing we can do about it.
It's
nothing Sony can do about it.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't understand is the only reason why Sony can charge you tax is because they have a presence in the state. Where's Sony in the state? If you can find that for me, then I can understand.
There must be some factory somewhere.
Right, which is, but I don't know where.
I just wish, you know, if they're going to charge you tax on the cards, I just wish they'd take tax off of the online purchases, because Microsoft doesn't do it. As much shit as they give them about their stupid point system, their Spacebuck system, they don't charge tax for it. You know what? Nintendo doesn't either.
Yeah.
You buy a 2,000-point card, you might get charged $22 in the store, but on the service, you can buy $20 worth of shit.
Yeah.
You buy a $20 point card for PSN, guess what? You can't buy Wipeout.
Right.
Well, and that's the only thing I hate.
Right. Yeah.
I don't care about paying it in the store, but if I'm $1.30 short from buying Wipeout after I just spent $22 on the card, I'm pissed.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
You know, we've been through this road before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, basically, you know, I purchased Wipeout HD, and I purchased Mega Man 9 for PSN, and now I got something like just barely over $8. Just
which
on my account,
is the same thing Microsoft does by making point increments funky.
Yeah.
You always have 80 points
right.
here, 60 points there, 20 points there. And guess what? They've already earned their money. And you don't get anything out of it.
But, you know, I mean, I look on the bright side. I spent $40 and I got two really great stellar titles.
And that's all that matters in the end.
I mean, you just got to take the tax thing, just... let it roll.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have
the facts of life.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
And I get on to my fondling, god dang it.
Jeez.
Way to censure yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was very well done.
Yeah,
I'm going for that look.
It sounds like you've been holding that in for a while.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Trying to think.
Oh, look at it. Now on to my fondling. I don't really remember what
I was playing. I don't quite remember what I was playing.
Terrible.
I played
terrible.
Belly up. Anyway, you don't watch Bob. You don't listen to Bob and Tom, so you don't get that.
No.
I love that show.
But I played Mega Man 9 a little bit. Not enough to talk too much about it. I think we've already beat that dead horse. War World. I did buy it. I did not. I like it. I mean, it's not anything to get excited about. That's just a mech. It's a mech match.
And see, I would like to buy it so I can play it online to see what it's like. But I fear that. It won't have a lot of variety.
It feels very simple.
It does.
Like, there's not a lot to it. Like, you shoot the other dude before he shoot you.
Yeah. Well, it's a $10 game, right?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Is it 3D polygonal graphics?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, usually in games like that, they use 3D polygonal graphics and, you know, that are, I don't know what I'm saying, a mech-based game. You gotta kind of consider that it'll probably be pre-level... pretty simplistic.
I think it's fun. I mean, it's not the greatest game ever made, but I mean, it's neat. It's neat.
I might check out the demo sometime this week.
Good luck with that. You get 48 seconds.
You'd have to play for like at least a half hour to actually get the feel.
You see, when it comes to demos that are timed, that's like a low confidence on the developer's part, in my opinion.
Well, it's 48-second demo or something like that.
I think
they're
just trying to make you buy the game.
It's just ridiculous how... I mean, just give you one deathmatch. Seriously.
Well, that's what you got.
No,
you got one kill, and then it's over.
You got one kill. That's what that is. Stupid shit. Anyway.
But from the different selections of mechs, I thought that was pretty interesting how they've differentiated.
Yeah, but when you play the arcade mode, you don't get that.
Yeah, no.
You just...
they choose it for
whatever
you.
Whatever one you get, you get. Yeah. And I hope you figure out how to use it. The two big games I played this week, as everybody else, I didn't play much. The big one that I played was obviously Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway for the PS3.
And?
Asshole.
It's terrible.
I booted it up and I started playing it. And, like, literally the cutscene comes on and I'm like, I remember when I saw this game initially and it looked so good. What the f*** happened? Because, like, the cutscene's playing and I swear to God I was watching an episode of The Muppets. These guys look like puppets, man. They look awful. And, like, you see, like, it's, like, panning over the area, and, like, grass is appearing, and, like, textures are appearing on the wall and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, fine. If it looks like ass, that's fine. I don't care. Whatever. That's not the most important thing. I start playing it. I'm like, holy shit. It's Medal of Honor. It plays just like Medal. It's just like, I've played this game 16,000 times, and I'm tired of it. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't do anything. I'm playing through the game. Oh, look, the squad commands. Okay, I keep telling them to go over here, and they go over there. I mean, in the demo, that's about all you get.
Right.
I mean, they, like, tell them to go over here and go over here. The controls are, it's like, literally, I felt like I was playing the same game I've played 16,000 times, and I'm sick of it. I am. I really hope Call of Duty is not like this. Because the only thing that stood out in Brothers in Arms to me was when I shot some dude in the head and it did a slow motion zoom in camera. And I was like, oh, that's cool. The rest of the time I'm playing it, I'm like, I'm really sick of this garbage. I'm so tired of World War II shooters.
I tell you what.
I turned the demo off. I'm just like, I just don't care.
If Call of Duty 5 is going to be like this, I'm going to kill you and Boogeyman. You guys are pushing this shit, and I swear to God, if it's the same as this, I'm going to be pissed. $60 on stuff I could be spending on something else that comes out.
Then don't spend $60 on it and play somebody else's copy.
Well, yeah, I play other people's copies. I'm just saying, because I like Call of Duty, but I hate World War II, but you guys are pushing it so much, you made me want to buy it. So...
Don't blame me for spending $60.
No, I'm going to blame you and Peterson. It better be good. God help you.
Oh, whatever. But, you know, Brothers in Arms, I'm not impressed. Not at all. I can't believe how bad it looked.
Yeah.
I'm like, when I remember seeing the original video of this game where you see him, like, shoot the guy through the clothesline and the guy falls over.
Yeah.
And, like, you throw the bomb in the window and it explodes, and like I'm playing this game, I walk through a field, there's a goat, I shoot it in the head, and I think or it was a lamb or whatever,
sheep
whatever, I shoot it in the head, it just kind of falls over in one animation. Yeah, and you throw a grenade, literally you can't see where the grenades went. It looked like you threw a pixel. And you're like, where did it go, like you're looking around for it, like, where, and then it explodes, it goes pfft. You're like,
there it is,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's about awesome. It's just not fun. Just not. I was very disappointed in that game. However, on the other hand, the other game that I got this week to review that I played the shit out of, which is just freaking awesome, is Pure. Oh. I'm trying to figure out how an ATV game that's just ATVs could continue to make me happy every time I play it. It's just so much fun. And those big jumps and drops and stuff, like, all the levels have those. And it's just, it's so exhilarating when you fly off that and the music stops and you just, and you know you can do your big crazy trick. It's just so much fun. There's three kinds of events. There's a standard race, which is cool. There's the sprint mode, which is basically just real fast, like 30-second laps. And then there's the mode that's not in the demo that is the best mode in the game. It's called freestyle. Basically, you have a tank of gas. And for every trick you do, you get a little more gas. Well, if you can string the tricks together, because it's got like a little timer that goes down after you do one trick, if you can string them together, you get bonus points. But see, that'll also cause you to wreck. And also on the track, they've added more jumps on the tracks in freestyle mode, so there's constantly jumps. But there's like little power-ups, like two-time combo meter, more gas, more this, more that. And it's just a race to see who can score the most points the fastest. And it's just so much fun. And the tracks, it's just funny because it's like, there's nothing special about the tracks at all. But you love every one of them because they're so pretty, like visually. They look so good. And they're so huge, and there's no pop-up, there's no slowdown, there's no draw distance. It plays like perfect. And what's even cooler, you know, you can build your own ATV from scratch.
Yeah, I read about that. That sounds awesome.
You build it piece by piece. And every time you win a race, you get new pieces that you can go in and upgrade your bike and make it faster. And you can actually, I think by the end of the game, you have 10 slots that you can put up to 10 different ATVs. So, and it's good to custom build ones for races, custom build ones for freestyle, because they handle differently. Like, you might have one that does really good in freestyle but sucks in racing.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to build multiple ATVs. I have two that I use back and forth, one for freestyle, one for racing. But
that's awesome.
And then if you get online, the online racing is awesome. And there's a free ride mode that's like the old ATV versus MX, where basically it's just you and a bunch of people driving around this big open area, and it keeps track of who did the highest jump, who did the best trick, who did the fastest, whatever.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's just... Oh, I can't recommend this game enough if you like racing games, and especially if you like ATV racing games. There's just... It's so hard to find a game that just nails that fun factor that you just can't stop playing it. And this game... What was that?
Don't look at me.
I heard something.
That was my thumb.
Oh, I was like... But no, seriously, if Pure is... If you were a fan of ATV Unleashed or ATV Off-Road Fury or any of those games, this, in my opinion, is the best one ever. Ever.
Sweet.
I mean, it's just that good. It's so much fun. But that was really the big... That's what I played most of the week. I played it like four different days this week, so...
Hmm.
I love it. This week... Oh, Jesus. I have a lot of stuff coming this week.
I don't want to hear it.
I have Dead Space coming this week. Oh. I'm going to play that. I'll be playing Silent Hill this week, because I should get that this week. I should be getting Cabela's Dangerous Hunts this week. I also have the Mortal Kombat collection coming this week for the PS2. There's some other stuff I can't remember that I have this week that I have to play. But my review for Pure should be up on Tuesday. Wombat's review of Mega Man should be up on Wednesday. And we should have a review of Brothers in Arms tomorrow.
Nice.
Not from me, so... It won't be a 4 or 3, yeah, but
who's doing that one?
Cat's doing that.
Ah.
So hopefully, it should be today, because I broke the fourth wall. But
yeah, you broke the fourth wall.
I did.
You
indeed.
Broke it,
indeed.
Bastard.
But we have a lot of reviews this week, and we have a lot of games coming out this week, and we will have a Dead Space review up before the game comes out.
Ooh!
So snap. Anyway, that wraps up my fondling. That wraps up all the fondling.
Before we move on to the news, thank you to who answered our question last week if the camera works with the 360 camera works with the PS.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Said it does.
Thank you. Thank you.
Indeed. So now we move on to Das News.
Das News. And now, News for Gamers Internet Style Radio Program proudly presents Killer Wolverine's Weekly Dirt, brought to you by BioShock on the PS3. Through lazy development, we've managed to bring you a year-old port with textures that look like they were ripped straight from Vagrant Story on the PS1. Now your host, Zero Tolerance.
You almost lost your composure on that one.
I did.
Ouch.
Sorry, that was a little more venomous than they usually are, but
wow.
As rightfully, wow. I'm just disappointed.
So, yeah.
I'm very disappointed.
Yeah. Do you have that in the news?
So no,
we can
I
talk
didn't
about
see
it?
Anything
can
about
we talk
it.
About it now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go right
knock
ahead.
Knock yourself out.
We've discussed the whole difference between 360 and PS3 ports before, and, you know, graphics are a very minor part of most games, and the differences between two versions are usually very slight. In the end, it's really just nitpicky stuff for people to argue about on the internet. But here's the thing that disappoints me about it with BioShock. Number one, it's fucking BioShock.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get away with a lazy-ass port of, you know, most games, most, you know, second-tier games on the market. But it's fucking BioShock. The game is a legitimate masterpiece. How do you let that slip through the cracks? Unless you just simply and honestly, and, you know, I like 2K games. I play almost all of their stuff. But I don't understand how you let that slip through the cracks unless you just plain out don't care.
It was probably definitely lazy. Laziness is probably a big factor.
And I mean, I understand that the PS3 is structurally different than the 360. That's fine. But you know what? You had an extra year to work on the port.
There's no excuse for it looking like
That's number one. Number two, the other thing is, you know, the graphics in most games are, as we've discussed on here before, despite what some people think, graphics in most games are supplemental to the actual gameplay. It's not, you know, the primary focus of the game is not to deliver graphics, it's to deliver gameplay, and the graphics supplement that. In BioShock, that's very, very important because the whole story, the whole everything of Rapture is bolstered so much by the immersion that the game gives you into the world. Everything about the graphics immerses you into the world. So when you have shady textures, it breaks that immersion, which in turn hurts the story overall. So in this case, the graphics actually take away from the story, which is disappointing.
Yeah.
So, you know, once again, in the end, it's just textures. And, you know, if you shouldn't definitely not let it stop you from playing the game on the PS3 if the PS3 is all you have, because the story and the pacing and everything in it is top notch. But it's disappointing because of the caliber of the game and because there's so much other attention to detail in BioShock that stuff like muddy textures is a little disappointing. That's my mini Gambus rant.
That's your mini rant?
For the week.
It's like a mini me.
Oh, there's no excuse for it. And it's disappointing because I know there should be a lot of PS3 fans that are looking forward to it. And they still should. I'm sure
right.
It doesn't take away.
And you know what? They've got 2 weeks to work out the... People have also been complaining about the fact that it tries to force 1080p, and so you get some white bars during the cinematics, and you have to manually adjust your resolution. But that's something that they can get ironed out in 2 weeks. Textures, you really can't fix that in 2 weeks.
Nope.
So it's very disappointing. Just because I think the reason it's most disappointing to me is just because I loved BioShock so much that the fact that other people could potentially be disappointed in it because of some lazy texture work is frustrating.
I guess it would also go to say that if you're disappointed in the overall game because of that,
then
you missed out.
You're nitpicking too much. You know, it's not gonna. In the end, it's not gonna kill the game that the textures are a little off because it's still, like I said, the story's still fantastic, the gameplay's still fantastic. It's definitely not gonna ruin the game. It's just, like I said, disappointing that if they were going to make a mistake on a game, that they made it on this one because, you know, it was so good. So anyways, there's my mini Gambus Con rant. I was just disappointed because, you know, we said all along that we hoped BioShock went to the PS3 so that all the people who only have a PS3 would get to play it because it's so awesome.
Yeah.
And now here it is. They're getting to play it, but it's going to be a lesser experience because of something
stupid.
Which is
funny because it's supposed to be a more powerful system than the 360.
Well, I mean, it all comes down to the fact that the architecture is different and that apparently they just didn't spend enough time converting it over to make sure the textures were good.
That's still inexcusable. They had plenty of time.
Yeah, you have to use a lot of research and development, and that probably takes a lot of money. And since it's a game...
But, I mean, I buy that. I really do. But you're 2K games, and it's basically the most important title that you've had in 2 years. How do you not spend the time to make sure it looks just as good, if not better, on the PS3? I think that's what sticks me on it.
Well, they probably anticipate that they probably won't sell nearly as many copies on PS3 as they did on 360.
Won't. They definitely
well,
won't
that's
now.
That's no reason that, to do that. That's no reason at all.
The thing is, it's all about, you know, research and development. The cost that goes into making a port versus the profit that you make from the game.
No, I don't buy into that because they can't go and like, oh, only 5 people are going to play it. We're going to make it look shitty. They don't know how many people's going to buy it. There's no way to tell that.
Well, I mean,
I don't buy it.
They didn't just say only 5 people are going to play it.
Just using
they used a whole year basically to port it. But the thing is, if they wanted it to look better than the 360 version, they might have had to use. It could have taken 2 to 3 years.
Well, then
to
don't make it look better.
Version.
Make it look the same.
Yeah, that's. I mean, once again, most of the ports that we see that are slightly inferior on one system or the other, the difference is so minute that you would have to really, really be looking for it to notice it. You look at BioShock on the PS3, and it's instantly noticeable that there's a difference.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, we're not talking about the minute gap that a lot of multi-platform games have suffered from on both systems, because the PS3 has had multi-platform games that look better than the 360 as well.
Mm-hmm.
BioShock, there's a significant difference in texture. That, I think, is really telling of you know, the effort put into the port. Because if it was close but not quite as good, then yeah, I would say, you know what, it's just a different architecture. You know, it takes a lot of time to port it over. But when it's that significant, that's telling to me, because I completely agree with everything that you're saying, but in this case, I don't think that completely explains it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could have ran into some problems, you know, they could have...
Stop making excuses for them.
Dude. They probably came to the conclusion that it might take till, like, summer of 2009 to do a really good port.
I'm with these guys. I don't buy it.
You don't buy it?
I don't buy any of it. I think it's bullshit, and I think a year is plenty of time to port a game.
Yep.
Look at Oblivion.
It should
look
be.
At Oblivion.
Yep.
Yes. Oblivion?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I have to say about that.
That should close that nicely.
All right, now we're going to the news. In case you were looking for The Age of Booty, it's coming to XBLA and PSN on October 15th and 16th, respectively. Obviously, the XBLA games this week were Mega Man 9 and War World. If you pre-order Gears 2 at GameStop, you'll receive an exclusive theme created for the new Xbox experience.
Sweet.
Be excited. DLC has been confirmed for the Wii version of Rock Band 2. Zack Snyder, the man behind the movies The Dawn of the Dead, 300, and The Watchmen, have signed a deal with EA to make 3 games. That's interesting.
That is interesting. I wonder what the games are based on.
Well, why would a director sign 2 games?
Well, I'm sure it's off their movies.
Right, yeah, I would imagine.
Well, I actually, I heard that it's actually going to be 3 original titles.
I heard movies.
It, you know, it is frustrating to me that 300, there was never a 300 game just, other than the one on the PSP, which was not good.
Yeah.
It would have been, you know, the game just, or the movie seems like it's one of those things that would perfectly translate into a video game.
The movie almost plays like a video
game.
Right.
So I just don't understand why there wasn't a next-gen version of that. That seems to me like somebody dropped the ball.
You know, they're going to make a sequel to 300.
302?
No, it's going to be 600.
No, it's called it's called 3000.
Really?
Yeah, it's supposed to chronicle the battle that's at the very end of 300 that you don't see, but you just see the giant army, and then it fades to black and goes into a title, into the end credits. Well, the sequel is supposed to elaborate on the ending and how it got to that ending.
Nice.
All right, Rock Band 1 songs will never be DLC for Rock Band 2 because Rock Band 1 will be made indefinitely. Big update for Mercs 2 coming on October 13th. It's called Total Payback. It will include cheats, finally. Unlock the total payback power of all weapons, vehicles, and airstrikes, as well as everyone's favorite infinite ammo and infinite health. Will they affect achievements? We probably guess so. 6 new playable characters and cross-region co-op support. Also, Mercs 2 will get its first round of DLC in November. The new Red 360 controller is available, and it comes with a chargeable battery and play-and-charge kit, all for the low, low price of $64.99. Due to the recent price cut, the 360 sales in Europe have increased by 214% in the last 2 weeks. Some big Star Wars Force Unleashed DLC news. It's getting 2 waves this fall. The first round will be comprised of additional costumes and character models that can be used in the single-player game, including Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ki-Adi Mundi, and Kit Fisto. The second round will feature a new single-player mission set in the Jedi Temple on planet Coruscant.
Sweet.
If you care or want to know what songs will be on SingStar ABBA, you can head over to IGN. They have the full list of ABBA songs that are in the game.
ABBA.
Here's a tasty little rumor for you. According to Xbox World 360, Max Payne 3 is in development at Rockstar Toronto. Yeah.
Sweet.
Kotaku is reporting that EA stopped work on Command & Conquer Tiberium. Mariam Shuka, a spokesperson for EA, had this to say. EA has suspended work on Tiberium effective immediately. The game was not on track to meet the high quality standards set by the team and EA Games label. A lower quality game is not in the best interest of consumers and would not succeed in this market. This decision will result in some individuals being released, fired. However, EA will make every effort to place talented people on other projects. Eligible employees will receive severance and outplacement support.
People's getting fired.
That's what I'm thinking. Nintendo is rumored to show an old franchise update at its press conference on October 2nd.
Wait, Nintendo old, rehashing an old franchise? You're kidding.
Was it Sin and Punishment?
Well, I was thinking more Punch Out.
Yeah,
but that's punch later out. On, so that's why.
If it plays anything like Wii Boxing, it'll suck.
I like Wii Boxing. According to Kotaku, Nintendo and Marriott are teaming up to provide visitors at select locations to experience the Wii.
Oh, wow.
The custom-designed system for the hotel will have 20 different games built in, including Wii Fit, Super Mario Galaxy, and Wii Sports. They got new hard drives or something? How do you fit them all on there?
Don't ask me.
They got the Marriott
hard
drive.
Why did they get new hard drives? Why did...
What the hell?
Instead of...
It's the Marriott hard drive.
I don't know if I reported that or not, but I won't say anything yet.
Anyway, Cliffy B told VG247 that Gears 2 is, quote, no longer a game. It's a platform. Each mode is huge. Seriously?
I guess Cliffy B's the long-lost son of... what's his name from Fable?
Yeah,
is it got plastic instruments that come with this one? It's a platform, dude.
It's a platform.
Whatever. It's a game. Yeah. Microsoft Game Studios head Phil Spencer has confirmed that the company has hired some heavy hitters to work on future Halo games, including former Kojima Productions assistant Ryan Payton. So he can talk on his cell phone and tell you how to make games. Microsoft has cut the content and price of Fable 2 Collector's Edition. The figure is no longer there, nor are the cards. It's now $69.99, but they are offering the album for free. You can download it at somethingdigital.com, which is SUMthingdigital.com, and enter Fable Collection as the promotion code. This starts on the 6th and runs for a limited time. Dead Space went gizzled. Jack Tretton, Sony's U.S. boss, claimed that PS3 sales are 30% higher than anticipated for the current fiscal year. And as a result, as we hear every year, he anticipates the sales of the machine to reach 10 million units by March 2009. And he also said that don't be surprised if there are shortages this holiday season.
I didn't see that. Wow. Yeah.
The InWAR VIP demo has been pushed back to October 7th. Doug Lombardi of Valve said that pre-orders for Left 4 Dead are 40% higher than the Orange Box. That's because we're not rehashing the same game. Bethesda's Pete Hines, on which version of Fallout 3 you should buy, he said, quote, if you're really sort of deadlocked and you've got to have your reasons to make a decision on one platform or the other, and then, yeah, DLC may be the one to push you towards one platform. DLC is only planned for 360 and PC.
Hmm.
The Penny Arcade Adventures on the Rain-Slick Precipice of Darkness 2 has gone gold. The 360 version will be 1,200 space bucks, which is $5 cheaper than the first one. PS3 rumored to have the same pricing, but whatever happened to the PS3 version of the first one?
Good question.
Shell Shock 2 Blood Trails is coming. Because, you know, the first one was just an amazing game. It deserves... I hope...
That was sarcastic.
I hope so. Okay. We might see a PSP version of Little Big Planet, but nothing's concrete at the moment. Remember when you bought Rock Band 2 and you had the code for download 20 songs? Well, you can go sign up for it, but you can't download them. So, GameStop continues to buy its competition. This time, the game company has taken over European company Micromania. SingStar for the PS3 got 10 Queen songs for you to download.
Awesome.
There you go. Remedy will be showing a new Alan Wake trailer, and it is a gameplay trailer.
Yes.
At the Finnish premiere of Max Payne on October 15th.
Awesome.
Capcom is hoping that Resident Evil 5 will sell around 3 million copies, which it should because it's on two systems. Dragon Quest IX will hit Japan in March of 2009. According to Team Xbox,
this is kind of weird.
According to Team Xbox, Nintendo is working on a successor to release in 2011 that will add new features to the existing system. So,
why they're reporting that, I have no idea, but that's the first I've heard of it.
Wii HD, huh? Man. It was true. Nintendo announced that beginning spring 2009 in Japan, Wii owners will be able to download software directly to an SD card. Exciting.
Whoa.
So that's their memory.
Solution?
Storage issue.
Nice. It's kind of retarded. Nintendo announced the DSi, the new model of the DS, which has been rumored forever. There is no more GBA slot. The screens have been enlarged and will be 17% larger than the DS Lite. It will include a 3-megapixel camera, an SD slot, a built-in browser, and it will feature DSi Shop. The pricing categories are free, 200, 500, and 800 points, If you buy a DSi, you'll get a free 1,000 points that can be redeemed from moment of purchase until March 2010. The DSi will release in Japan on November 1st and will cost around $180. It will be available in black or white and eventually 1,000 other colors.
Yeah.
True that.
According to Nikkei Business News, Japan's video game market declined by 21.3% in the April to September fiscal half compared to the same period last year. If you pre-order Dead Space at GameStop, you'll get a code for an exclusive downloadable scorpion suit, like from Mortal Kombat?
No.
The suit will feature a new look, increased toughness, and increased inventory slots. Redesigned versions of Brain Age and Brain Age 2 will be the first downloadable games for DSi via the DSi shop. Imagine that. Recycled franchise. Donkey Kong Jungle Beat will release on the Wii in Japan on December 11th. Pikmin will release on the 25th. And next year, other GameCube games will follow. Chibi Robo, Pikmin 2, Mario Tennis, Metroid Prime, and Metroid Prime 2. A lot of stuff from the Nintendo conference. The Wii Speak channel. Up to four people can chat together, and the WeSpeak mic will come with a coupon to download the channel. It should be here on November 16th. So the channel's not free?
Yeah, that's what I'm gathering.
Holy shit, God. I love pay for a browser and a channel.
Yay!
Nintendo also said there will be an ample supply of DS Lites and Wiis this holiday season.
So let me get this straight. Sony says shortages. Nintendo saying... You'll find them.
Hmm.
We'll see how it pans out.
They're Bogarting them, bastards.
Club Nintendo is making its way stateside. Fans will be able to collect points by completing surveys and registering products to save it for premium items for North American Stars catalog. The service is already available in Europe, Japan, South Africa, and Australia.
I think that's really cool because I hear about a lot of Nintendo items that they give out in Japan for being a part of the Nintendo fan club or the... Was it called the
American Stars Club?
Club Nintendo.
Yeah, Club Nintendo.
Yeah,
I'd like the Club Nintendo.
The thing is, in Japan, they give out a lot of really neat items, like in terms of like collector's items and stuff like that. So
well, hopefully they'll translate it over here.
Yeah,
hopefully they'll translate some of this into new franchises.
Indeed,
The DSi will not hit North America until late 2009,
and it is not made as a replacement for the Lite, for the DS Lite.
And I heard a rumor.
What the fuck?
Dude, yeah, that's from Reggie.
Well, Reggie can suck it because that's not true.
I heard a rumor.
That's what he said. How's that not true? They want to go through the next holiday season with the DS Lite.
The DSi, there's a rumor that it might actually have territorial lockout.
Really?
Yeah, so in other words, I'm still keeping my DS Lite.
We continue to go backwards in the evolution of video games. Backwards compatibility and cross-region play is now going away. Awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
I love this world. It's great. Not only does the PSN receive Puzzle Quest, but it comes with an expansion of Revenge of the Plague Lord. Nintendo showed off a few new games at their conference, including Another Code, Sin and Punishment 2, Dynasty Warriors. I thought they said new games. And Punch-Out.
Leave it alone, Zero. Leave it alone.
You know, all of Nintendo's new announcements this week is... It's almost like comedy. It's like, let's do this again.
Take-Two doesn't want to merge with anyone and says it wants to stay an independent company. So there.
There you go.
I heard this was debunked, but I don't know.
Really?
The true sequel to Dead Rising may be episodic. We'll see.
That was just a rumor.
Yeah, it was a rumor, but I heard it was debunked, so I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not. It doesn't really matter. It just needs to be Dead Rising 2. Just do it.
For real.
As reported earlier today, like 2 minutes ago, Fable 2 Collector's Edition lost its cards. But never fear, you can download them as PDF files and print them off. Yeah,
because nice.
That's really
sweet.
What...
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you do that, you're a dork.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah, it's like... The only reason why you want those cards is for the collectability value.
But why would you just want to print out a normal piece of paper with cards on them?
PDF, baby.
That's what he's
saying.
You wouldn't.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
PDF, baby. Jack Trenton again says PSP and PS3 sales are up by 30%.
Estimated.
Estimated, sorry.
This is exciting for me.
Rock Band DLC this week. Huge, huge amount of crap. Three song pack from The Offspring, including Gone Away, Pretty Fly for a White Guy, and Self-Esteem.
Yeah.
Also, Against Me with a song called Stop. Free with a song called All Right Now. George All Thorogood and the Destroyers with Bad to the Bone. Harvey Danger with a eloquently titled Cream and Bastard Dries. The Screaming Trees, who died in 1992, Nearly Lost You. And Static X with Push It, in case you like giant Marge. Marge Simpson hair.
Dude, his hair is awesome.
His hair is awesome. The Offspring pack will be $5.49 or $440 space bucks, and each track is, once again, $1.99 or $160 space bucks. Warriors of Orochi 2 got its patch, so no more slowdown. Woo! but there's still fog. You can run over to ztgamedomain.com and see the new box art, the official final box art for Mortal Kombat vs. DC.
And new screens.
And new screens, which don't look very good, which surprised me. Yeah. They're very low res, but the box art's the awesome sauce.
It is.
Free Radical put up a teaser trailer on its site for Time Splitters 4. I hope it's better than Haze. Kotaku is reporting that the developer diary and soundtrack are no longer going to be available on the bonus DVD for Fable 2.
So what is there left for the collector's edition?
Nothing.
Fable 2,
Master Chief Armor.
And the little
energy
hob.
Sword.
No, that's gone.
The hob figurine out too.
That's gone too.
Dude, what's the point?
They actually, and they also,
the
I didn't
content.
Report. No, I didn't. They also got rid of the collector's edition box.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the three pieces of content that are the $10 now.
Well, but still, you know, that's going to be downloadable on the
for $10
marketplace
for $10. So why not just get it at the beginning? I want an energy sword. That's all there is to it. That's why.
It doesn't fit with the mythos.
I don't care. I don't care about the mythos.
I care.
He had horns.
You. Just like Darth Vader and Yoda don't belong in Soul Calibur.
Yeah, but they're awesome. RE5
no,
drops.
Darth Vader is.
RE5 drops the typewriter saves.
Thank God.
Welcome to 1995. The 160 gig Drake's Fortune PS3 will hit shelves in November.
$500.
The AC/DC Rock Band expansion will have achievements and trophies, and it is standalone,
which is weird. Yeah, I heard there's rumor there's no online play.
That wouldn't surprise me. It'd just be like Aerosmith. Rock Band's doing that now, too, I guess.
Yeah.
European Wii owners will get to play Earthworm Jim and Shining Force 2.
They get it for the WiiWare, those bastards.
Cave Story is coming to the Wii.
I just thought I'd put that in. I've never heard of Cave Story.
I've heard a cave story once. Every copy of Gears 2 will come with a redeemable coupon. Here's that word again. Coupon that will allow you to download 5 additional maps for the game, which were from the first game. But they've been polished up versions, including Canals, Gridlock, Mansion, Subway, and Tyro Station. Also, if you attend the midnight launch, you will get a code that will allow you to unlock the gold-plated Hammer Burst Assault Rifle. Jesus. You're going to have to, like, go to 40 different places and 40 different times to get all the gears. How much shit did you come home with, like a bag like this?
Right.
Like you bought a system when you go to pick up Gears of War 2. Seriously.
Yeah.
Japan is getting Last Remnant 360 bundle that includes a 60 gig console, faceplate, game, and soundtrack.
That's a great move.
Goes on sale November 20th and costs $331.
That's a great move because Last Remnant is another game that'll move 360s in.
Indeed.
Japan, if it's bundled, you know.
Yeah.
And
now, is it coming out? I don't remember. Is it coming out day and date for the PS3 as well?
No.
Yeah, then that's
there's not even
a
been
great
an
move.
Announced date.
And
for
there might there's
PS3.
Even a rumor that when it gets announced, there's going to be a bundle for that too.
Really?
Yeah.
On October 14th, which is the week after this, Rock Band's DLC will be Motley Crue's album Dr. Feelgood.
She's the one to call Dr. Feelgood.
Uncharted Drake's Fortune is being made into a movie.
Why not?
Yeah, at this point, why not? With Brett Ratner directing a movie that they just announced.
Guitar Hero.
God of War.
Yeah.
He's doing God of War.
Yep.
There's a lot of jokes there. I just left them alone. Kotaku is reporting that Knights of the Old Republic, MMO, will be revealed this month.
Woohoo, if true. I'm so excited about a Knights of the Old Republic MMO.
And there's a rumor. The rumor is that Capcom could quite possibly be making a new version of Strider. Yeah! Awesome. I can't wait. I hope it's true.
All right.
Sweet.
I love Strider.
I do too.
And it loves you.
I'm a big fan of Strider.
Indeed. All right. We go to the questions now. Here we go. First question comes from Clance. Hey, crew. What's new? It's been a while, as I've had troubles downloading the pod, but I'm back. Welcome back. Forgive me if these questions have been done.
And forgive us for you having issues downloading the pod.
Yeah, I don't know how that got fixed. I tried everything, and I didn't fix anything. I tried.
You could take credit for it. They don't know that you didn't fix it.
I just tried.
Jig's up now.
Go back, edit that out.
Okay.
Say that you fixed it.
What was the outcome of Gambus Killer Wolverine Spaced box set? I'm intrigued.
So am I.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got a little wind saying, little birdie told me that you let certain someone else borrow a movie of yours.
Mm. What?
Mm. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
A movie?
Man, there's going to be a fight here in a minute.
What movie are you talking about?
I don't
remember letting anybody borrow anything in the last few years.
Would you like to
elaborate?
They're going
to start holding out the switchblade in front of them and snapping their fingers here in a minute.
Would you like to elaborate?
Circling too? Each other.
I'm not a part of this.
Horseshit.
I've not lent out my space box set. That's what you're alluding.
No. I'm saying you lent out a movie to someone.
Which
in this
movie?
Room.
Mm. Which
Passion
movie?
Of Jesus.
Oh. Okay. Oh, yeah. Like 2 years ago.
I still haven't watched it, too, which is terrible.
Yeah.
Is that why you stopped letting people borrow stuff?
Because I keep stuff for 2 years.
Yeah.
No, I have that problem, too. I still have your shoot 'em up, by the way. That's a ridiculous time.
But Space.
I still have your game and comic book.
I got to say, the British show Space
Legacy
is probably
of
one of my favorite comedies. Of all time.
The Essentials.
In terms of comedic television, it is genius. I've seen it 2.5 times all the way
through.
Well,
let's share the wealth.
All right.
I mean, I'll be happy to come over and all of us watch it.
He wants to come over to your house, dude.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Oh, that's...
All right, number two. Well, this is none of us has seen this except for Gambus. Did you notice that one of the characters in the show is wearing a Metal Gear Solid T-shirt?
Actually, no.
Well, then you need to keep an eye out for
you
that.
You missed out there.
I need to watch it again.
There you go.
Just to look for it.
Next question is for everyone.
Everybody gay.
Do you feel the exclusive content thing is getting a little out of hand?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hear the news that Far Cry 2 will have 3 missions and 5 or 6 hours of gameplay if you pre-order from GameStop. Surely this is just ridiculous. For one, what alternative will we have in the UK and the rest of Europe? And two, when you start giving out extras on top of a game, it reduces the amount of people experiencing things fully. I think the situation needs to be reined in a little.
Agreed.
I don't know. I like exclusive content, but it's not really.
I do to an extent, but when you're talking levels and missions, that's, I mean, and here's the thing, too. Sorry, I stole that from you, Gambus. I apologize.
Oh.
Here's the thing.
It's okay.
If they have it available, if they have 5 or 6 hours of gameplay available as a pre-order bonus when you buy the game, then they had it available and they could have put it in the box copy. That's irritating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed. Oh, my bad.
Man.
Well, they're yawning.
Show boring you?
Yeah, for real.
It's shallow and pedantic.
Indeed. Shallow and pedantic.
Last question, spoiler.
Question mark.
Yeah, from Metal Gear Solid 4. Who the hell was looking after Sunny in the final MGS4 mission, and how did they jump from the plane in the final mission briefing into the ship? I have only played through the game in a marathon style on my new HDTV. Yeah, I loved it, by the way. What? How did they get from the plane in the final mission briefing into the ship? It's Kojima. Just accept it.
I mean, you just got to accept that. And as far as who was looking after Sunny, dude, she created a computer virus. And she can fix eggs. She can look after herself.
Well, it took her the whole damn game to learn how to fix eggs.
Well, that's true, but she finally did.
She did.
By the time the last mission
with the help
around,
of Naomi.
So. Right.
Yeah, so.
And I mean, if she can hack and make eggs,
I think
she can take care of herself.
She's good.
Not only did she hack a computer system, but she hacked the most sophisticated computer system on the entire world.
And yet it took her the whole fucking game to learn how to make eggs.
Exactly.
See, that's that right there is a perfect example of what's wrong with America. You see that? See what I did there? Indeed.
Indeed.
Next.
I think that's the bigger plot hole. Not who was looking after her, but how in the fuck could she create a giant computer virus and not fix eggs for half a game? What are you, from The Grudge?
I was starting the question and I didn't want to stop. Okay. Next question comes from Dilo Fiend. Has any of the crew ever created a PS3 theme?
Not really.
No.
I should.
I just download them.
Yeah.
I got a whole bunch of them.
You should create one.
Yeah.
Call it I Won't Let You Borrow Space.
I should make the old...
Snap.
Send it to Killer Wolverine via...
In honor of Mega Man 9, I should make the old player hater logo into a PS3 theme.
You have to create one with, like, so I can see the bars in the back, like, so the cross-media bar looks okay.
Right.
Because otherwise it's just annoying. Like the Simpsons one. It's terrible. Aside from Guitar Hero and Rock Band, what other rhythm-based...
You totally just missed a question.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you
shut
did.
Up.
You straight games, out missed it.
What games will the crew pre-order next?
I still got to pre-order Spider-Man and Fable 2.
I got to do Spider-Man. I got to do Fallout 3. Pretty much at the end of October on, I got to pre-order. Except for Gears.
I don't have to pre-order Spider-Man or Fallout.
Yeah, I can do it for free.
Oh.
Shut up. I still need to pre-order Little Big Planet.
Really?
Shame on you.
Shame on you. Seriously.
Oh, speaking of which, no one really wanted the contest about getting that Kratos code. So fuck
yeah, nobody really cared about your contest.
No, nobody wanted to rap, dude. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to bust a rhyme.
Nobody really cared about your contest.
Oh, well, they don't get no Kratos code then. Yeah. Suck on that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Suck Indeed. On that. I still need to pre-order Gears and Resistance.
Resistance, yes, is another one.
And there's some other November games that I need to pre-order.
But I will do them soon, next week.
Do them.
I will.
Do them.
Do them up nice.
Do
them
I will.
Indeed.
Nice and pretty.
Sweet nectar. Now, aside from Guitar Hero and Rock Band, what other rhythm-based games has everyone played?
I played Donkey Konga.
Well, that just
you know,
makes
I played Donkey
Konga
too. Konga too. You know what else?
Konga too.
I completely lost that.
Taiko Master.
Yes, Taiko Drum Master.
Yep.
Which is really really fun. And also, I've played DDR before, but I don't really like it.
Really? I like DDR.
And I played...
I Bust a Groove.
What was the... Amplitude?
Yes.
I played that.
I played
Amplitude and Frequency, but I think Drum Mania in the arcade was awesome.
Yeah.
I watched people play it. I never played it.
I was obsessed for a while, and actually still really enjoy the Karaoke Revolution games.
Yes, those are fun.
Those are a blast.
What about you, Con?
I actually went through a little phase where I played a lot of DDR, even though I never got good at it. I would keep playing it, and it was fun.
Dude, so needed a video podcast.
I know.
Everybody was busting the moves.
Everybody was dancing like they were on a DDR pad. See, this is where you guys really miss out on us not having a video camera.
Have any of the crew ever played in any type of tournament?
Not an official one, but yes.
I played in a couple.
I did.
Which one?
Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah.
We used to...
Tell us that story, Zero.
I don't need to tell that story, because I lost.
We...
But...
I got second place.
We used to make unofficial tournaments all the time, but never anything serious.
We had, like, a marathon tournament in my apartment one night with a bunch of guys. It was fun, like Gran Turismo and Mortal Kombat and shit. That was fun.
We used to... me and some friends of mine used to do WCW versus NWO Revenge tournaments. And also... GoldenEye, and also Street Fighter.
Okay, this actually has a little bit of a story attached to it. I attended the Nintendo World Championship that when this was a championship that toured back in, I think it was either 88 or 89. And it was one of those that went to major cities throughout the whole country. And I went to... Cincinnati, downtown Cincinnati, when it actually came to, you know, Cincinnati, and I went to it, and it was fun, man. It was a blast. I remember when my brother took me, because of course I was too young to drive back then. We went to downtown Cincinnati. It was held at the convention center, and I remember the moment when we went around the right around the corner,
indeed,
of the convention center.
It's like he's never been gone.
And I saw a gigantic, it was probably like a 40-foot tall Mario.
40-foot Mario?
Yeah.
I bet he ate a lot of spaghetti.
A 40-foot tall Mario in front of the convention center. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so awesome. And I remember when we went there, when we went into the convention center, not only was it, a championship thing, but you got to play games before they were released. I got to play Mega Man 3 before it was even released. And I remember it was four stages available, and the four stages were the ones that were on the corners of the screen. And I remember the stage that I got to play was the Snake Man stage. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so awesome.
So you were like Fred Savage in The Wizard.
It almost had that vibe. It was that was not me. But
it'd be pretty good if you could do a ventriloquist burp.
That would be awesome. I'd be like, that wasn't me.
Watch this. Oh, excuse me.
but yeah, it was almost like a mini E3 for its time. And I got to play Mega Man 3. There was a couple other action adventure games that I got to play, and I remember
it's like he's never been gone.
I remember there was this one thing. It was Nintendo character fruit snacks.
Yes,
it was a promotional thing, and it was this
probably had Pit in it.
Here's the thing. Here's what it was. It was this booth set up to where they could record you like a music video.
Nice.
And it was a background of Super Mario Brothers along with platforms that you could jump on, and they videotaped you on this Mario stage.
Nice.
And I actually got to do it, and it was like me and a couple of friends of mine back in the day, and it's probably the most fruity thing that I've ever...
It was fruitier than the fruit snacks?
It was fruitier than the fruit snacks, and it was this song. It was like this rap song. It was like, Super Mario Fruit Snacks from Nintendo, oh yeah, or something like that.
Do you remember
It was a song, man. It was like a five-minute song. It was a music video, and if anybody found this video, they could blackmail me, and it would be one of the most...
Quick to YouTube!
Disgraceful things that I've probably ever
done. You remember the Super Mario and Zelda cereal that came
in
a split box?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff was terrible.
The Mario cereal was better.
Yeah.
Than the Zelda cereal.
They were both garbage, though.
But they were, yeah. But the Mario was fruity.
Right.
It was a fruit flavor.
That's fruity conversation.
Yeah, you said fruity a lot lately.
But yeah, the Nintendo World Championships, what it consisted of was Super Mario Brothers, the original, then Rad Racer, and then Tetris. And I think it gave you something like 8 minutes to go through. It was how it was set up was you had to collect 100 coins in Super Mario Brothers. As soon as you collected 100 coins, it would transport you to the game Rad Racer. Then you had to complete the first stage of Rad Racer, and then it would transport you to Tetris. And then in Tetris, you would have to do as much scoring of points as you possibly can in the remaining time that's left. And
whoever finished with the most points won?
Yeah, the points were across all three games.
Gotcha.
And it was pretty tough. I didn't do that good, to tell you the truth, but it was fun, and I actually stayed the whole day and watched the championships all the way to until the person who was there actually won against everybody and was awarded a trip to
Fruity Town,
Universal Studios in California for the actual big championship.
Nice.
So I got to stick around and watch the dude win it, and it actually came down. This is kind of weird. It actually came down to a husband and wife couple.
Wow.
Yeah.
Divorced soon after.
Yeah, the husband won, barely. It was weird.
Indeed. He said, suggesting to the crew, which we've kind of been doing, at a rant each week into the podcast before the news.
Yeah, we kind of did that this week.
I think every month would be fine. We kind
of. I think we just throw the rant out there whenever one of us feels it. Because if we try and start forcing a rant a week.
Well, I mean, there's just enough going on that we can do one every month, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably a month. Yeah.
Rant, I don't know. Rant doesn't really seem like something you can put a timetable on to me.
Well, there's always
seems like
something.
It's
to,
just gonna,
there's always something that something. Pisses you off every
yeah.
week.
Yeah,
always.
But it just seems like it's yeah. something that's just got to come out. Do you can't be like, oh, well, you know, I would rant about this, but we already did our rant for the month. So.
I'm about to rant about.
Well, I see your point. On
yeah,
right.
We did the rant quota.
Yeah, we've hit our rant
October
quota.
Already. Thanks, Wombat.
No, it's a good It's a good suggestion. I don't know.
We'll have to play around with that.
All right, next question comes from Maze13. He says, hey guys, what's up?
What's up, folks?
What's up?
It's been some time. I haven't queued you guys. That didn't sound right. Anyways, I got a simple question. Yeah, I read this. But before that, I just want to say thank you for playing with me over Xbox Live and PSN the past days. Do you know who you are, and for the rest of you who
the
still haven't.
The pleasure is all ours.
Cough ZT, cough Gambus Khan, cough Boogeyman. I look forward to playing with you guys sometime. Now for my question. Everybody knows this fall and holiday seasons are going to be game-packed.
Indeed.
From 1 to 16.
Oh, gosh.
Which games are you most anticipating to play? Everybody must answer. Here's a few games coming out. Fracture, that's 16. Dead Space, SOCOM, Bioshock for the PS Triple, Far Cry 2, Legendary, Little Big Planet, Spider-Man, Fallout 3, Resistance 2, Mortal Kombat DC, Call of Duty, Mirror's Edge, Prince of Persia, Gears of War, Left 4 Dead. Wow.
That's tough.
The reason I ask this is because I'm getting all these games, and I want to know what games you are most hyped about. You got a lot of money, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I know my wallet's going to hate me for the rest of the year. Thanks for making a good damn podcast. See you on
but
the line.
But you know
line.
What? In the long run,
thank
you know, you'll be happy with all those.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And I'm very sad to see no Gears on your list.
He said Gears.
It's on there.
Oh,
Gears of War 2.
Oh, I must have zoned out for a second.
God.
Idiot.
My bad.
Fuck Jesus. You.
I'd have to say...
Just take off your headset.
The top one? Mortal Kombat?
We'll just go around the room. You rank yours first.
Mortal Kombat versus DC, definitely first. Little Big Planet, probably second. Dead Space third, Gears of War fourth, Left 4 Dead probably fifth, Mirror's Edge, Resistance 2, SOCOM, Far Cry just because I'm such a big fan, Prince of Persia, and Call of Duty, what am I missing? Spider-Man. Did I say Fallout? Yeah, I don't remember if I said Fallout.
No, you didn't say Fallout.
Well, Fallout's low on my list anyway. Legendary's low on my list. Prince of Persia.
You said already.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to go through them, and I can't. Bioshock, I have no interest in playing. Not for the fact that I'm not interested in it, but for the fact that I've already beat it twice. And then Fracture, after the demo, I really just don't care.
Right.
So
is that
you? That's me.
All right, Gambus. Do it up real nice.
Really? Let me see
Fable
here.
On there. I'm surprised.
I would say...
I'll substitute Fable for Fracture.
Thing is, though, the games I'm most looking forward to, I mean, a little bit different. I'd have to say Little Big Planet, followed by Mortal Kombat versus DC, followed by Fable 2... Mirror's Edge, Gears of War 2. I'm doing a lot of ohms here.
Are you chanting?
Yes. Ohm. I'm actually looking forward to Star Ocean. Star Ocean First Departure.
What, PSP?
PSP, yeah.
PS Pipple?
Yeah.
Don't ever say that again.
No.
You see Fallout, Resistance to...
That would be the portable version of Fracture, PS Pimple.
Yeah.
wow.
Spider-Man seems to be pretty sweet.
Made by Shaba.
The thing is, I mean, that's it. Actually, all those games on that list are good, but I probably won't be picking up half of those until probably after the new year.
Even Fracture?
I'll probably never pick up Fracture. Oh, yeah. Dead Space is also high on that list as well.
Awesome sauce.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't think that was six. I don't think that was 16 games, but those are the games I'm most looking forward to. I mean, a lot of the other ones, you know, you could take it or leave it. And
I think you need to leave next.
Yeah, that was not me.
Hear that anyway.
Yeah, you couldn't hear that, but wow. someone in here made a funny.
Yeah, you know? They made something all right.
Yeah, they made a funny bodily function. Noise.
A little flatulence going.
Yeah.
Left it alone.
What you go on, Wombat? What you talking about your games?
I'd say number one. See, my number one and two are fighting it out right now, and I think the one that's number one is probably just number one because I've been playing it lately, but Little Big Planet is number one. Fallout 3 is number two. Fable 2, I would say, is number three. Followed probably by Mirror's Edge, number four. Prince of Persia, number five. Spider-Man, number six. Resistance 2, number seven.
La Resistance.
No Mortal Kombat yet?
Mortal Kombat's probably actually number nine behind Left 4 Dead.
Boo.
You know I love Mortal Kombat, but...
I know.
But I'm still hesitant. Once I play it, then it'll probably go up the list. But number 10 is Dead Space. It looks fantastic, but I just can't find myself getting as excited about it as everybody else seems to be. I don't know why. Number 11 is probably Far Cry. 12 is probably Call of Duty. 13 is probably, I guess, Gears.
Holy...
I know that hurts Wolverine's feelings, but I still haven't beat the first Gears because I really didn't get into it that much. SOCOM Confrontation is probably 14. I don't care about Bioshock for the PS3 because I beat it already. I definitely don't care about Fracture.
Pimple.
So, yeah.
This makes for a compelling radio.
I think that pretty much, yeah, it does. You like the dead air? I think that pretty much kills it.
Between the dead air and the
I bet I can guess your number one.
I bet you can.
Fracture.
No. Good try. Gears.
I bet it's not a game. I bet it's a platform.
It's a platform. There you go.
Gears. I'm stepping on my wire here.
Don't do that. See, maybe if you pull here. It out, then it's bad.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Gears, Fallout.
What are you talking about?
Little Big Planet, Fable, Dead Space, Resistance.
It's almost as good as his ums.
Love is his dance.
Mirror's Edge. Mortal Kombat. Call of Duty. Left 4 Dead. Prince of Persia. SOCOM. did I say Far Cry?
No.
Far Cry.
You didn't say Spider-Man either.
Spider-Man. What am I missing?
I don't know. SOCOM?
I said SOCOM.
Bioshock.
No, I won't get Bioshock.
Prince of Pimple.
I already said Prince of Persia.
You didn't say Prince of Pimple.
Oh, because that's not a game. Legendary.
Oh, my God.
Legendary, the box. Dude, I think you're good. I think you're good.
Yeah.
I think that was 16. I mean, it could have been like, yeah.
I think it was 16 seconds of
Please, May 13, and anybody else who does questions, try to make questions that make us go, not that often.
That was a good question.
It was a good question.
It was a good question, but I don't know. It seems like it's out of context.
This next question
for a podcast.
I've been looking at for a couple weeks, and it's one of the most interesting things I've read. Comes from Dislowboy916.
Except for the first part.
It says, "Hey, crew, you guys still kick ass.
That part's awesome. Thank you very much.
And Killer Wolverine should be the new host."
No.
Ha ha, just kidding.
Sweet.
A few more questions and requests, please. Number one, we all know ZT and Boogeyman smoke. But who else smokes during the podcast? Because I always hear more than one lighter clicking and smoke inhaling. Or does Zero smoke like a chimney? Do you want to explain this? Because it's not even me.
Yeah, it's the reason you hear lighter clicking is because Zero has a lighter sitting next to his desk. And when we read the questions, everybody kind of huddles up to the computer so we can all read the questions. And I find myself nervously picking up his lighter and just turning it on and turning it off. And flicking it on and flicking it off. So that's just me making the lighter sounds, just playing around with it. I don't smoke, though.
It kind of adds to the atmosphere of the podcast, though.
And it makes people think that I smoke like a chimney.
Right.
It's like mission accomplished. It's like, whoa, smoke them if you got them.
I smoked it because I had it.
Yeah, this should be the news for smokers podcast.
So, but it's just you and Wolverine that smoke regularly, right?
Indeed.
And then Boogeyman smokes occasionally.
Not anymore.
No, he kind of does it all the time now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's just you three that smoke. And
yes.
Myself and Gambus.
Gambus doesn't even drink like caffeine.
On the non-smoking side.
No, wait, that's you. You just drink water with lemon.
No, I do. I drink caffeine.
Yeah.
I do. I drink Mountain Dew like a
machine. Wow, he gave you a look like, don't lie.
I will slap you, you Irish bitch.
Get away from my potato. Anyway. Number two, if you had to choose one game and one... just kidding. The real question. Since we all know what Gambus and Wombat look like,
ta-da.
I can't help but picture Zero, Boogeyman, and KW. So I'm going to give my thoughts on how you guys look and tell me how wrong or right I am. And no way is this me talking trash. Just remember that. Zero is probably a heavier set guy with a bowl haircut, black glasses, and a Marlboro cigarette in his mouth. That's not really true.
You do have black glasses.
Well, yeah. But I don't have a bowl cut.
No, you don't have a bowl cut.
And not Marlboro. I can't even say it.
Marlboro?
Yeah, thank you.
No.
It's more of a Camel Light.
More, yeah. But I'm a bigger guy, but I don't look like... like Fat Albert.
Doesn't look
or anything.
Like Gabe Newell.
Yeah, I didn't look like I ate somebody before the show, you know. I just ate somebody's leg, that's all. Hold on. KW is probably skinny. Wears all black and a beanie with a tight Misfits t-shirt and ripped jeans. Dude, that's so wrong.
Yeah, that doesn't look... Yeah, that's not anything like it.
He looks like a midget.
Ah, fuck.
He looks like a midget who walks around on deer hooves. wears a size 2.5 shoe.
Actually,
that is
he
so
does,
far from the truth.
It is far from the truth. He has, like, black hair.
Yes. No, it is. It is far from the truth. He wears a size 6.
8.5.
And he always wears a Carolina Panthers jersey.
Only on Sundays. Football, baby.
Well, that's when we record
today,
this show.
Today he's wearing jean shorts, a Carolina Panthers jersey, and some Converses.
Indeed. And I do
size
have
size 4.
Jeans, but that was because I ran into shit.
You ran into shit? Like you were just running and I ran into some shit.
Well, I'm kind of clutzy. So.
Yeah, but when
did
she...
Did you try and take him back to the store? Because that would be pretty awesome.
No.
Sir, why do these pants have a giant hole in them? I ran into some shit. I don't want to go into it, but
it's
I ran
this whole
into
story.
Some shit.
It's, ugh. Just, yeah, but I am skinny.
So. But take the pants back, please.
All right. And for Boogeyman, for some reason, I picture him as a sex-crazed Gordon Freeman from Half-Life.
Wow.
He doesn't look anything like Gordon
Freeman.
No,
he doesn't look anything like Gordon Freeman. I wonder if this post is why he actually put his picture as his avatar on the forums now.
Yeah, you can see his picture in his avatar and his MySpace page. He takes like a picture of himself every day.
Yeah, I know.
In some weird pose.
Yeah.
I think I'm even on his if he's had that song up still, huh?
If he's got the song up, you are. I don't know. So
if we still had a staff page like we used to have,
we're working on that. Damn it!
I still think that we should do a little video introduction of everybody at least. Just take like a little video.
Whoa!
Hi, I'm Killer Wolverine. Hi, I'm Zero Tolerance. Hi, I'm Gamus Khan. Hi, I'm Ugly Wombat. And then just go. Just go with it.
Ha, I'm Fat Gabe
Newell. Just so everybody can at least see.
I'm Gabe Newell. I'm Gabe Newell. I just ate your mama.
Oh, my God. Wow. That was wrong on so many levels.
I didn't mean it like that, sick ass.
I don't think never mind.
Jesus. Number three, describe the room and equipment you guys used to do the show.
It's kind of like the Death Star.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
That's no moon. That's the studio.
That's no moon. That's a PlayStation.
Oh, snap.
If you'd stop playing with your iPhone.
Leave me alone about my iPhone.
He's like, I paid $5 million for this.
I didn't pay nothing for it.
I don't know. It's a room with a desk and a PC and some guitars and some plastic instruments.
Yeah. And some headsets.
And lots of headsets.
And a cat.
And a cat.
And there's some Xbox games and some Dreamcast games.
And there's an elliptical machine. of all things.
As you could tell, I didn't use because I'm giant like Gabe Newell.
Yeah, because you're fat, apparently, and you have a bowl haircut.
And there's some books.
Lots of
and there's actually a bowl and some scissors, which I assume is how Zero cuts his hair.
Yeah, I did. Watch out now. There's a Master Chief helmet. That's actually how I cut my hair. I put the Spartan armor on, you know.
And there's a razor blade that Killer Wolverine uses to cut himself.
And why'd you leave that here?
I got plenty at home.
That's true.
And a stack of porno magazines for Brian.
Yeah, he usually brings those and leaves.
And a crowbar.
And a crowbar, yeah. And a head crab. It's dead, don't worry.
All right, and number four is a special request. You guys are my favorite podcast.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And the best podcast around.
Thank you again.
So it would make my day if I could get a long Metal Gear Tourette's rant, starting with Metal Gear, Raiden, Meryl, Colonel, but ending with Dislow Boy. I ask because I have a jailbroken iPhone, and I use my audio as ringtones. And this would be my text message ringtone.
Nice.
And Zero, can I get you to do a long, luminous oots, oots, oots for my ringtone? You guys really rock, and what I think is the epitome of a good podcast should be.
Nice.
Oh, snap.
You want to start
Thank
it?
You. Thank do you. Thanks this? For the compliments.
Indeed. All right, we have to do this.
Metal Gear. Raiden. Meryl. Colonel. Otacon, Dislow Boy.
There you go.
I sort of ran out.
I know. I was like, where am I going to go?
Where are we going to go next?
A diaper.
Oh, yeah.
Monkey in a diaper.
Yeah. You want to start it over again?
The Gray Fox. Burger King. Cyber Ninja. McDonald's. Shadow Moses.
Oh.
Chicken Sandwich. Teddy Sprinkles.
What the fuck? Just see that.
Bowl haircut. Gabe Newell. Eat your mama. Fruity Pebbles. Your grandma. Six Crazy Gordon Freeman. Super Bleeder. Heinz Ketchup. EA Sports.
I already said that.
It's in the game.
Alright.
Oh, classic.
I've lost my mind.
Beanie.
I need a drink.
I have lost my mind.
We've all lost our minds.
Kill Wolverine's ripped pants.
Alright. Next question comes from Barantis.
Hopefully that'll work for your ringtone. If not, hit us up again next week.
Yeah, we'll do it again. Maybe not. Hey, don't touch me there.
Well, don't.
Are each of you a...
Don't sell me no lines. Keep your hands to yourself.
All right, Georgia Satellite. Anyway, are each of you cat or dog people?
I am a cat person.
I prefer cats, but I can go either way.
I have two cats at the Hizzy. The Wombat Cave.
I have a cat in the ZT Hizzle. I like both.
And in the studio now.
Yep,
yeah, he's
actually
asleep.
Say hi.
Passed out.
He's asleep,
yeah, he's
dude.
Crashed out.
Don't wake him up.
What about you, Gamus? Cat person or a dog person?
I'm a dog person, but I respect cats.
There he goes.
Here we go.
Nice.
Have you ever played Alf for the Commodore 64?
Yes, I have. And what a terrible game. I used to have a Commodore 64, and I loved that thing. And I did play Alf, and it's terrible.
I remember.
Terrible.
I remember playing the PC version of the show Dallas.
Wow.
There was a Dallas video game.
I also had a really cool game on Commodore 64. I think it was called Little People, and it was kind of like The Sims. Like, it was like
Star
a very,
Killer
very
Wolverine.
Early version of The Sims. No, none of those people
I was the Commodore,
had peg legs.
I was the Commodore 64 in 80s Trivial Pursuit last night.
I also enjoyed the Olympics game for Commodore 64, which was a lot of fun.
What is your favorite Flash game?
I don't know. Maybe Alien Hominid?
Yeah,
I think it's called The Last Stand. It's the zombie
tower
one.
Defense game?
Yeah, no, it's the zombie one where you you have to, like, the zombies all rush into your fort or whatever, and you have to shoot them all, but then you have to adjust your resources towards either rebuilding your fort or going out to look for new weapons or searching for survivors so you can build your team up. That was a really good game. I think it's called The Last Stand.
Mine wasn't really a game. I guess if I had to pick a game, it would have been that Halo, like the grenade
thing, where you
had to make the... But my favorite Flash thing was that the stick ninja that would whoop people's asses.
Yeah.
That thing was awesome, dude.
I don't really... I only played Alien Hominid. That's the only one I played.
Well, there you go. Alien Hominid.
There Jerk. You go.
I'm not really a PC Flash gamer or anything like that.
Yeah, thanks, same here. Same
thanks
here.
For ruining the question.
You're welcome. Anything I can do. Just, you know. Gosh.
He wants us to go around the room and sing the 1UP show theme with your own personal twist.
I have never listened to the 1UP show.
Just sing it as a group.
Well,
it,
they
like,
keep
change
it every freaking week. So.
But it always has that like little jingle.
I've never listened to the 1UP show.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Million Toys R Us I could play with.
From that's the 1UP show theme?
No.
I was going to say. They just straight rip it off?
The theme is very similar to that.
Yeah, it is.
It's like,
I don't want to go to work today.
I just want to stay home and play all my video games.
What up?
Didn't they change it?
They did
change it.
How about instead?
Now it's like a Japanese.
Now
it's like a J-pop song. Yeah. What up, Saul?
Yeah. How about, since I've never watched the 1UP show, I'll just sing the theme song to Growing Pains and go, show me that smile again.
No, let's not do that.
Oh, okay,
Kirk Cameron just needs to go away. Because he won't kiss his wife on... He won't kiss anybody but his wife. Did you hear about
that? Well, that's probably good.
No, I mean, you know how actors will kiss other people in the movies?
Gotcha.
He refuses to do it. Like, his wife has to stand in as a stunt double. I heard that on the radio the other morning.
Really?
Yeah, like, Kirk Cameron's in the news. Wow.
Huh. he's got a new movie coming out.
I heard that. And his last question, has the Ghostbusters game been canceled?
No.
No.
It
has not. It's just looking for publisher.
Yeah, exactly.
Publishers.
Publisher.
Hopefully the final one will be out next year.
Publisher. Publisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to get to that. Yeah, we can't do that. So we're going to have to hit the sweet spot now.
We got another
We've got an epic stream coming up, including
you know
the Miguelito post, because we will hit that next
week. How did I completely forget during my fondling section to talk about the
NBA
call?
2K.
Yeah, I was on the I'll do this real quick since we're right at the end. I was on the developer conference call for NBA 2K9, a new game that's coming out actually this week, I think. And it sounds like it's going to be really good, actually. They made a lot of good improvements this year to the shot stick and to the defensive lockdown to make it a little bit more realistic. Sounds like the online mode is going to be sweet. It seems like it's going to be really, really good. I should get a review copy here in the next couple days, so next week I'll fill you guys in as to what the final game ended up being. But it sounds very, very promising if you're a fan of basketball.
Oh, and speaking of which, one of the things that you missed in your news that I told you about late was between the 2K9 and NBA Live debacle that happens every year. I don't know if anybody read this, but NBA Live has that new feature, the DNA 24-hour thing,
right,
where it like downloads the stats. That only works when you buy it new. when you buy it new, the code goes onto your system and it becomes like your feature. You get it for free. However, if you buy the game used, that feature is not applicable. It does
not
work.
For live?
It does not it does not work. So you have to purchase it. And it is $19.99 as a download.
What?
It is EA's way of fighting against the pre-owned because they don't make money off pre-owned.
Right.
So,
wow.
Yeah, I figured I would point that out because a lot of people don't know that.
Right.
So buying this game used is a very bad idea if you're interested in that feature. And it's interesting that NBA 2K9 has a very similar...
Called Living Rosters.
Yeah,
yes,
feature.
Which actually sounds like it's going to be a very, very good feature. And, you know, somebody made a... somebody asked on the call, actually... you know, is something like Living Rosters, is that going to – are you putting yourself out of a job because if people can keep updating their rosters or whatever, what's the point in buying the next game? And he made a very good point. He's like, you know, you don't just buy a game for the roster. You buy it for the features, and they're committed to continually ramping up the feature set and the gameplay every year. So it sounds like they really – invested a lot this year into making and to fixing a lot of the problems that people had last year, especially with the defensive lockdown thing. This year, supposedly they're taking mismatches into account better. So if you're Shaq and you're trying to cover, you know, a speedy point guard, it's not even going to work. You're going to get blown past. So it should be really good this year. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, sounds like good. Sounds like we got some competition going on in the basketball arena this year.
Yeah.
Looking good, but that's, we almost put Street Fighter into the glitch. So there you go. That wraps up the show. So, Super Bleeder, if you would be so kind.
Do you wake up and wonder where we'd be if our lives were not so simple and free? The things we share, our daily lives and all of our routines.
excuse you. The first movie is about the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark right. of the freaking Covenant, you know,
right.
from the Bible, you know what I'm saying? And they open it, and they're all their faces melt, and they're like, ah, oh,
right.
you know, stuff like that.
Exactly and, like that, actually.
And then in the second movie, you got these glowing stones, and then you got, you know, I'm going to grab your heart and rip it out. You know.
Right.
You know, it's...
It's always had something supernatural.
Yeah, it's like supernatural. And the thing is, if you really think about it, the second movie is actually the one that's kind of misplaced because at least the other movies had historical significance. And like the third movie, he's after the Holy Grail. I mean, the right. the freaking Holy Grail, you know what I'm saying? And then you got to figure this is, you know, pre-Cold War.
Right.
So then you got the post Cold War era, and basically, if you really think about it, oh, holy Toledo!
Chew on that for a while.
If you really think about it, post Cold War era mysticism, like in terms of secrets and
right.
conspiracies, the big ones, aliens.
It's true.
So that's my reasoning why you know the new movie.
I would have just used "It's pretty kick ass" and just like all the rest.